We're good, Dave.
Does that mean we're live?
That's not a fucking counter, David.
Why couldn't you give us a thumbs up? He's like,
not a few things happening.
No one knows what that means, Dave.
There's not a universal hand sign.
Okay, hello and welcome to another episode of Grange TV that we kick off with David and his audio signals. In no planet is that accurate, David. So we have with us David that's kicked that off. We have with us Mr. Robert Whittaker, UFC middleweight champion, and myself. Just in news notes and quotes, we kicked off the GAP program. So that's the educational program that's Rob's educational program. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, Rob didn't turn up to work.
I was overseas. I'm sorry about that.
So UFC fight fans and possible Robert Whittaker adversaries, he doesn't turn up, not just to fights, but to his own educational program.
Wow.
So, yeah, we did that. And the GAP program was a fantastic turnout. The guys did really, really well. The students loved it. Explain yourself, buddy.
Let me just clarify. I will be going in. It just so happened that the UFC made me go to a press conference across the world, like the same week the program was launching. And I apologize that I wasn't there for the launch, but I'm here now.
Yeah, it's really a tomato-tomato thing though, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
That's how
you are a piece of work, mate. You are a special piece of work. The show hasn't been going on for like 2 minutes and you're already putting it on me.
No, I'm just saying to you, like, it would have been nice if you went to work.
Yeah.
Last time was a fucking internal hernia and and this time you just left everyone just hanging there, man.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
Yeah. All right. So tell us, you were in the US?
Yes. I was in the US. I went over for the press conference, which you can catch on a lot of my media and on the channel itself.
Sorry, Rob, is the fight in Melbourne?
No, there's no confirmed date yet, place yet, location.
Okay, cool.
There is a high chance it's in Melbourne, but as of right now, there is no hard confirmation of whether it is in Melbourne or Vegas or wherever else they want to put it. But I think there's a heavy leaning, they're heavily leaning towards Melbourne from what I understand. So I went to Vegas for the press conference. A lot of big names in the conference, like Khabib and DC and their opponents, Poirier and Holloway was also there and other people. it was cool because I haven't actually met Holloway or Khabib before, and I'm a huge fan. I think they're weapons. They're gun fighters.
Good guys?
Yeah, top guys. Max is like a super cool guy. Like, Khabib is what you see is what you get. Like, he's the same. He's very straight. So it's hard to really bond with him in such a short time frame because he's very reserved. He's like a very straight guy. But Max is very out there. He's very going. He's a cool guy. Easy to get along with. And, it was a great press conference. Got a lot of media done. It was the 4th of July weekend there. So it was like very, very busy. And
Vegas is crazy in the 4th of July.
It is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Like, there's just people everywhere. And people drunk and loose everywhere. And it was a good experience though. There was the fireworks and stuff. You know what was terrifying though was that I was on the 29th floor of the New York when that earthquake happened, the 7.4.
You were there.
And I thought I was going to die. Sophia.
How bad did it affect in Vegas?
I was pretty bad. Like 7.4 is a pretty big earthquake.
Fuck you.
And there's a lot of sirens afterwards. there's people panicking and they freak out and call the ambulance and have panic attacks and all that stuff. So I'm not sure exactly how bad it was or
how much did your room share?
Mate, I was terrified. I really was. I wasn't terrified.
But how much did it shake?
It didn't shake as much as the whole thing was wobbling, like the whole thing. And then you could hear things like cracking, like you could hear just noises. And then like you're obviously freaking out. So every little sound is freaking out. And you know what the worst thing was? It's like being on the 29th floor. You know you're dead.
It's you like, can't tuck your chin in and roll.
it's not like, well, if I hit the legs right now, I'm maybe able to get out. No, you're done. You're not going to get down 29 flights of stairs by the time it comes down on it. Like, you're just dead. It's like being in a plane when we got that turbulence. Remember that trip?
That was bad.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, you know, you're just going to die. There's nothing left. And it didn't make, shout out to Sophia, who in any crisis, panics. Like, panic's bad, as bad as you can. And she's freaking out, putting on clothes, saying, Robert, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here now. We got to go.
Where's she going to go?
I don't know where. I don't know where. But I'm like,
San Francisco is always good for earthquakes.
Yeah, the whole time, like, babe, just calm down, calm down. I was actually on the headset to Dennis and Peter. Shout out to those guys. I was playing with them online at the time. And yeah, I was speaking to them, and they're like, nah, don't worry about it. It's just aftershocks. Aftershocks. And you know what else? I messaged Duda and said, hey, Duda, you feel the earthquake? He's like, yeah, this is crazy. And I'm like, does it happen often? Like, am I going to die right now? And he goes, happens all the time. Don't worry about it. 5 minutes later, he goes, nah, just jokes. Never happens.
That kind of stuff doesn't happen.
And shout out to him for...
Like, that was like when we're talking about moving to Vegas and that. Before, and I was talking to Sergio Pena and his son Duda, and their selling point, because they were trying to sell Vegas, which outside of the casinos, and the fact that it's close to, you know, California and other places, sorry, Vegas, it does not have a lot of redeeming qualities except a lot of sand. And they were saying, one of the things that they were saying to me was there's no natural disasters, right? Which now it's out.
Yes,
there's no bushfires. There's no.
Yeah, nothing can happen there. Yeah. It's like the moon.
It does look like the moon.
Yeah, it's like the moon. Nothing can happen there. But yeah. So I thought I was gonna die. I didn't. So I was stoked about that. And yeah, that was one of the highlights of my trip. Other than that, we went to the fights on Sunday, which I think we will be talking about.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good. But you know what was crazy as well, because it was like everything was happening that week. It was 4th of July, International Fight Week. So a lot of the fight awards and all that sort of stuff was happening that week as well. So I think there was something like 35 guest fighters.
At the fights.
Brought in. At the fights and in during the week. Because
what is that like? What's that like when you have that many fighters in the one area?
It's hard to say. Like, because my opinion on it is very different towards like all the other Americans, because they all get together a lot more than I get together with them, because like I don't leave my house very often, so I'm not part of their little cliques and their fight teams and stuff like that. But all of them guys, a lot of them are on the same team, a lot of them go to the same fights, because they're all, if you're in the States, you can just go to any fight, so they get brought across and go to different things together. I'm sure they run across each other a lot more often. So it's a little different for me. Personally, I find it...
Is there tension? Is there a lot of tension?
Yeah, well, no, there isn't tension, but I find it a little uncomfortable. Like, especially when it comes to, like, any of the middleweights. Like, if there's other middleweights there, I'm cool with everyone. Like, everyone knows how I act, how I am. I'm very cool and civil with everyone. But I can't help but feel in the back of my mind, like, this guy's sizing me up. He's looking at me, or when I look away, I'm sure he's staring at me looking for weaknesses. You know, I can't help but feel that. And I'm sure they don't care, but that's just me, I'm a little paranoid. But yeah, it's like that. It's cool seeing some of the other fighters relax and some of the other guys just chill out and see how they are, I guess, away from the camera.
How different, like, did you run into, say, for example, Gastelum?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so how different, for those who don't know, how different is it, the interactions prior to you and him fighting, how there's like a tension building up versus how
afterwards?
Yeah, like now.
Yeah, well, I like him. Because you didn't turn up. I like him now. When I was about to fight him, I hated him. And I wouldn't even eat Mexican food. I'm dead serious. Like, I just couldn't. I was just angry at him and all of Mexico at that point. But since then, though, like, I spoke to him and I said, like, I'm so sorry for what happened last fight, because I didn't want that to happen, you know.
I know they don't give you shit for it, but I also think, like, the one person other than him, but he got to fight a little bit later, but which is shit for him. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, still shit.
But the one person that really was shit for was you.
Yeah.
Because you miss out on your money.
People don't realize, like, everyone says, like, oh, he just missed, skips weight. Like, I had surgery morning of, I'm not going to harp on about it again, but, like, it, apart from that, I trained for months leading up to that fight. I cut weight, which is, like, terrible. Anybody, like, I dare anybody to cut weight just for fun. Like, you know, it's terrible. I don't know. I would have pulled out a day earlier. If I could have chosen, I would have pulled out a day earlier. Like, so I didn't have to do that. And two, I don't get paid. I didn't get paid any money. Like, so I haven't been paid in, like, over a year. And I need money. You need money. Everybody needs money to live. So it's very shit. But I spoke to him and I said, oh, like, I'm so sorry. This last
thing. Because he obviously has, I don't know if he boycotted certain foods, but like he also it was obvious to me anyways that there was also like there's obviously going to be tension between you and him in the lead up.
And
so how different was that?
It's completely different. Like I have positive feelings towards him now, you know, and it was very cool. Like I said, it was a great killer fight, man. Like, I'm so sorry it happened like this. He actually said sorry for doing the little show he put on with the belt and stuff. He felt like he had to do it. You know what I found out as well? Guess what? I found out, you know whose idea that was? Not his.
His manager's?
Cejudo's. No. Yeah, Cejudo's. Of course it was. Like, it was like, yeah, of course it was Cejudo's idea. And it's like, but it's cool. It is what it is. We're cool. We're cool until we have to fight again. You know, and you know what's funny? It was also like that with Rockhold when I was supposed to fight him. I had a lot of positive feelings beforehand. Then we had to fight, and then I hated him for a big stretch. And then after, like, I got sick and I couldn't fight him, I liked him again, you know?
But I think that's just normal, eh?
Like, it has to be, yeah.
Unless you're not really competing. Like, I think, you know, like, it's really, yeah. It's...
Or you're a psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can like someone and then try to kill them.
Yeah. No, I think... Like, if you're going to compete with someone for anything, I think you're lying to yourself if you're like, oh, yeah, nah, we're good. And like, nah.
Especially combat, of all things, especially combat, because, yeah, I find it very hard to fight people I like. Very hard. And I only know this for a fact, because I'm sure most people don't realize, oh, I hate fighting people I like.
Yeah.
Is from my experience in the Ultimate Fighter House when I had to fight my teammate, Xavier. That was terrible. I hated that feeling. I hated having to fight him. But yeah, you know, yeah, that like that. So I got to meet a lot of fighters in the crowd that I normally would meet. Ran into a ton of fighters. There was everyone there.
Was there tension between other fighters? And was there a fight? Did the Diaz brothers get into a fight?
I think Nate and I think Gaslam's manager.
Ali Abdulaziz?
Yeah, him. I think they had a bit of a tiff. Literally, like, when I just got there.
Like an actual punch-up?
Nah, I think it started off mouthing off and then all security jumped in and everything.
Were you there? Like, you saw it?
Yeah, I was right there. I think I took a little clip. We'll throw it up on the cast afterwards, a little clip of where I am. And but in saying that, I was stoked in a little bit because they had to relocate Nate to sit nowhere near him anymore. And I got to run into him. I was like, again, I just said.
But Nate's a good guy.
He's a top bloke. I love him. And I was like, hey, how you doing, man? He's like, he's a cool guy. We chatted for a bit. And then,
And Ali, whenever I've dealt with him, whenever I've said, like, hello, whatever, when we were at the fighter house and that, he's actually, he was always a gentleman as well. Like, I can't say.
Straight.
I don't know them, like, personally, but they're both, but it's just interesting. Titus didn't go around fighting anyone?
Nah, and you know what?
He should though.
He should. I feel that's the levels.
There's a little bit lacking there, Titus, in management.
I feel like there's managers.
And then there's managers.
You know what I mean?
Titus is not one of them.
Nah, you gotta stand up for me, buddy. We'll see.
I'd like to nominate Titus Day if he really wants to, like, prove how good of a manager he is to fight Ngannou for you.
But what I'll do is, because I know Titus is a little timid sometimes.
Yeah.
He's timid sometimes. So what I'll do is I'll start the fight.
And then let Titus get in there.
And then I'll tag Titus in to
leave it for me.
Yeah.
So all right. So You saw the whole incident there?
Oh, not the whole incident. Like, it's hard. Like, there wasn't really an incident. They were just mouthing off each other.
Oh, so they didn't have a punch?
They were just mouthing off each other.
Okay, because what I saw, I thought they had a fight. I didn't know.
No, they just started mouthing off against each other.
But that was the only incident between the fighters, or?
Yeah. That I could see. But there was everyone there. There was everyone. Like, all the champs, I'm pretty sure. Like, a lot of top five guys, like Ortega was there. I don't know what I'm just mentioning here, but I can't remember. They're like Weidman, Wonderboy, those cats, Usman, it's like tons of fighters, like all the, like the Bulla Valentina, she was there, Joanna was there, like it's just such a stacked event.
And are the fighters that have fought each other in the past, when you see them, are they usually all right?
Yeah, like, I imagine so. I couldn't pick up any tension there, but I'm sure there is tension there. Like, I just can't see it. And I don't go looking for it.
You don't go psychoanalyzing people.
Yeah.
No, I'm just more interested, like, I guess for people that don't get that insight.
Everyone was pretty relaxed and chilled, especially at this event, like in particular. I think a lot of those guys weren't fighting or had no fights lined up. So I think there was a lot of, and this is the 4th of July weekend. So I think a lot of them were celebrating with each other, maybe parties and stuff like that.
How awesome, the best thing about that stuff is how awesome are the flights from Sydney to Vegas and from Vegas back to Sydney, especially when there's a fucking breakdown.
Oh man. So yeah, I was supposed to get in a day earlier. But we left Vegas, and then as we got on the plane to Vegas, to LA from Vegas, they had to do some maintenance stuff, and it ended up racking up 6 hours. We were just sitting there in the plane, and then they were like, "Nah, got to change planes. Like, this plane's broken. Next one." So we all had to get off and then get on the next one, and have to do the whole rigmarole again. Wait for all the bags to get back on. Then we finally get to LA, and I missed my connecting flight by a long shot. Had to line up for my hotel coupon and to get my bags taken off the plane, and that was the line for that went out the door. Like, I didn't get out of the airport until 2:30 in the morning.
Fuck that.
And then, like, I had to stay in LA for the whole day because flights to Sydney only go at night, so I had to stay there the whole day, which wasn't too bad because I got to see Venice Beach. Never seen Venice Beach before.
What's that like? I've never been there. I've been somewhere on my list to do.
If I had to describe it in one word, it would be seedy.
It's seedy.
Yeah. Anyone from Venice Beach or in love with Venice Beach, like, relax. That was my opinion. Like, I'm sure it's not, but I thought it was seedy because there's like a lot of stores, like, that are just out of boxes, and there's like dudes trying to sell like Gucci items.
Yeah.
Like, just stuff like that everywhere, and there's like a ton of crazy people that are just walking up and down, talking to themselves, screaming at each other or off their head. I thought it was a little seedy. Had my wife with me and my manager Titus was with me, and it was all right. Like, at least I got to see it. I would have liked to have gone a little bit further and gone to that amusement park that you see in a lot of TVs, TV shows, but I didn't go that far. And and then flew home, long flight, and here I am.
All right, let's talk about the fights and the atmosphere.
Before we start, can I quickly go to my bathroom?
Please do so. Dave, what's the first fight? Which one was the first fight? The first fight on the main card. Yeah, so Chiesa and Michael Chiesa and Diego Sanchez. What did you think of that fight, Dave?
Sorry, can you hear me okay? I think I actually missed that fight because I was still sort of helping out with the GAPS students for lunch, so I didn't come in until about after the Rockhold fight.
Oh, okay, so you didn't see. Well, man, my view on it, I'll just tell everyone. Yeah, I'll just talk by myself. I'll do a Charles Sonnen, which he does very well and much better than me. I thought that Chiesa would be way too big for Sanchez, even though Sanchez has had a lot of experience. But also think he's probably had better days behind, you know, his best days are behind him. But having said that, and I don't mean that with any disrespect, I just mean the fact that I seen him, like I seen him really, Dave, can we take that off? Like I've seen some like amazing performances from him. I don't know necessarily that welterweight is a division for him. Chiesa looked so much bigger, like so much bigger than him. It's on.
It's not. This is not on. Is that? This is on. I think this is on. This is not on. Should this be on?
That's on.
This one.
Yeah.
Can you hear me doing this?
Yeah. Yes.
Nah, it's not on. It's not.
I can hear you doing it.
No, but you can hear from this.
I can hear that.
Hello?
Okay, it's on. It
just fucks up everything. It's like fucking hell.
You know what's funny?
Oh my God, it would have been better if you weren't here.
When I was doing this, you just could not concentrate or focus.
No, of course not. You're fucking spastic. Of course not.
Can you blame
the audio problems on me?
It's on. Please.
I'm going to go back to my soliloquy.
Yeah, please continue.
All right. Feel free to interject. No, I just felt that Kissel was so much, like, I thought Diego fought hard and he fought like all like the whole time, but I just felt like one Kiss is very, very good and he was so much bigger. What was that like when watching him live?
Okay,
on TV he looked way bigger.
Okay, first thing I'm gonna comment on is that the crowd, you know how normally someone lands a big shot, the crowd goes crazy. It's like the crowd would only cheer when Diego Sanchez survived a technique.
Dude, I was going for Sanchez. Like, I thought Kiesa was going to win, but I was like that too. I was like, fucking do it, Diego.
Like, the crowd never said anything. Like, there were shots being landed. Like, Kiesa was on his back the whole time, landing punches. The crowd did nothing. And then Diego would, like, switch the position up or just get up. The crowd would go mental. Like, and I realized that the crowd don't really expect Diego Sanchez to win. They just want him to survive.
But that's what I was saying earlier, and when I said like his best days are behind him, I don't even mean like, I'm sure he could go out there and beat people, probably at a lighter weight, but what I mean by that is like people don't understand like how good of a grappler he was and how good of a fighter. Like, I can't remember the year, but it was when Marcelo Garcia was tearing everything up and he was winning everything at ADCC, and he competed against Marcelo Garcia and didn't get submitted, which... Marcelo Garcia won, but man, this is, you're talking about him going through everyone. His level's high.
His grappling level is high.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Yeah, but is it Chiesa high?
No, but...
Because the thing is, like, as soon as the fight started and Diego went for a single leg, I was like,
But Chiesa looked like another weight division above. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, did he?
From the TV, yes, he did.
He's like, Chiesa looks jacked. But, like, Sanchez didn't look too, like, it didn't look like Mighty Mouse fighting.
No, he's not that much smaller, but he was a lot bigger. From where I was watching, he looked a lot bigger.
Yeah, I think Diego's thicker, but, like, Chiesa's got, like, that small waist sort of frame.
Yeah, but I don't think Diego cuts any weight at welterweight.
Yeah.
And Chiesa's fucking big, man.
Yeah, he is very... He's very strong, but you can see... I could see him when he was on the back of Sanchez, just like...
And when you ask me how good is he comparatively if they were to grapple, I don't know. But all I know is that back then, you know, he was fucking good, man.
And that's another thing. Like, Sanchez has been fighting since Ultimate Fighter 1.
Yeah, he's been there forever. That's what I'm trying to say.
How old is Diego Sanchez?
How many UFC fights has he had? A million.
That's a bit much.
I don't know, but a lot. Probably 30-something fights.
Yeah. No, that's so much. That's so much.
What do you think of that fight?
I don't know. I don't think Sanchez looked great. I'm a fan of his. I'm a big fan. Like, I've been watching him well before I was even doing the MMA. Like, so I'm a big fan of his, and I love the Hardy Show. But I just thought it looked a little off. I thought everything he did was a little off. Like, his grappling was a little off. His scrambles were a little off. He was losing position too easily, too often. Like, he wasn't controlling positions very well. I thought if I had to make a game plan to beat Chiesa, it wouldn't have been to take him down, regardless of how like, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have, because Chiesa's biggest strength is his grappling. So I try to lean him away from that, make it dirty probably. I don't know. I wouldn't have fought like that personally. It just looked a little off. It looked a little off. And at no point did I really think he was going to win. Like, I just, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think he fought great. I think he's a legend of a fighter, but I don't think he fought great that fight.
When you see, if you see someone, if you're coaching someone or your teammate or something, you can see that they can't, they're not, like, he was competitive, but he didn't look like he could make a run for Usman's title. Do you know what I mean? What do you do?
Yeah, that's hard. That's a very hard question. You know, and obviously you have your own theories on this because you're a coach. I'm going to get your answer after this because I'm curious in your own answer. But me, like, it's I don't know. Like, it's like I don't know because I'm not going to give myself a big head or anything, but I have never been in a position where I thought I couldn't beat someone.
No, but that's a very subjective thing. I don't think he's in a position where he thinks he can't beat someone. Do you get what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm sure if you ask him, he'll tell you, "Oh, I can beat anyone."
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. I don't know, because what do you do? What do? You go straight up to him and be like, "Bro, you're not going to beat anyone in the top eight."
but here's the thing: would you, if you're looking after someone, if you're coaching someone or whatever, and the person's there, and you can tell that the guy is not, do you think? I mean, there's a lot of factors, not right or wrong answer, but what do you do?
It depends, though. Like, I feel like even a fighter that you know doesn't have the talent to beat someone like higher up in the division, I feel like, especially in MMA, there's always a chance he could win. And yeah. I feel like if you directed the fight and you coached the fight well enough and you formulated a game plan to really play into that strength and to that angle of the fight, you could still win. And if you can still win, then you can still fight.
But at what point do you... Because probabilities versus possibilities is a different thing. So there are probabilities that you'll win. It's the probabilities that I could beat fucking someone. Possibilities might be low.
Yeah. But as long as it is possible. But then my mentality as a fighter, though, drives me towards that. Like, I wouldn't care if I had a 0.5% chance of winning a fight. I'm going to take it. Yeah. I'm going to fight that fight.
No, and I think that's why it's important to have people around that are going to make those decisions.
That don't have the fighter mentality.
Yeah, that. Well, even if you do have the fighter mentality, I think it's important that you understand that you're not fighting. So, say, for example, it's easy for a coach to go and say, "Oh, well, no, he tough it out and blah, blah. You're not the one that's fucking going to get brain damage."
But you see, if you do have that fighter mentality, like that, like you were a fighter, that's why coaching and fighting, it's very hard to make the transition. Like into one of the, into the transition, because you can't have that I'm always going to fight mentality when you're coaching someone else, because you do need that extra insight of like, okay, I'm not the one fighting. But in saying that needs a higher level of thinking, which would probably lead you to not fighting in the first place. You know what I mean? I don't know.
What do you think about him leaving? Not the intricacies you don't know, and even if you knew, or even if I knew, it's not our business to put it out there. But how much effect do you think it would have for the fight if, because he left Jackson's 3 weeks before? Like, talk to me about that. What's that like having? You, I mean, you've experienced situations like not even with other people, like even in when we've been coaching where. Like things haven't been great in a particular camp or whatever, and how much does that affect?
So there's no right or wrong in this answer. Like I don't believe there is a right or wrong, because it's how he felt. If you feel you need a change, or you need to mix it up, or you need to leave someone, or you need to stop working with someone, then you need to do that. Like,
but 3 weeks before a fight, how much would that affect? Also, how much would it affect staying?
Yeah,
3 weeks before
that's what
fight,
I was going to say. I think it would affect you a lot more trying to pull through feelings like that and being like, okay, I'll deal with it afterwards. Because especially from my own point of view, I'm a very much, it's hard for me to plan things for after because it eats at me until I do it. I need to do things now. And like when I decide to make a change or make a difference or do something differently, it needs to happen now, more or less. Especially if it's affecting me to a point where I don't feel good. Yeah, so if he left because he wasn't feeling it, because I think going into a fight feeling good and comfortable and happy is more important than anything in the world. I think a happy fighter is the most dangerous fighter, honestly. So for him to leave and him feel good about leaving, and he was on cloud nine. I saw all his interviews. He was so happy he had left. He was feeling so good, and that's the best way to fight. That's the best way to fight. Whether it impacted his performance or however, you know, who can say? Because you'd have to look at it in a parallel universe where he stayed. And
but I think revisionist history is always dangerous. You just give, you know, knowing after the fact.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a terrible thing to do. I think he was happy he left, and he was happy he wasn't a part of that team anymore. He was happy he was doing his thing, and he was happy he was fighting. And I think that was the best thing he did, just be happy.
Did you think Chiesa was going to finish your fight?
Nah, not really. You know, as much as Diego was in some bad positions, I don't think he was ever in a position where he looked like he was going to finish it. Especially after the first round when Chiesa had that body triangle and he had Diego face down and he went for that rear naked and he couldn't get it. I was like, I think Diego's just gonna die rather than
that's the thing that just makes me sad, like when I see that, because I try and tell people, like, dude, you know, like, even now when we're talking, I'm like, this dude was like at his time there weren't many people that could hit the mat with him like that, you know what I mean? He was really, really good. And people don't know that, you know, the same as when there's heaps of fighters, you know, that they kind of, you know, they've stayed. I don't know. I'm not saying he stayed too long, but all I know is that there's a lot of people that don't understand how good he was. You know? And that, yeah, I don't know. What was anything before the next fight?
Well, congratulations to Diego Sanchez, made the Hall of Fame, which is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, good on him. Well deserved.
100%. Season one Ultimate Fighter champion, winner, and he's been fighting forever. Like, he's an icon of the sport at this point.
Dave, who was next? Who was the next fight?
Rockhold.
Okay, excellent. What do you think about that fight? Because can I say something? That was one of the big things that I said in the last podcast where I smashed you in Mortal Kombat, if anyone hasn't seen that.
We have a rematch today?
Mate, I don't think you should.
That's right, rematch.
I don't think you do well in rematches, you know? I think
that was fucked. You're a real piece of shit.
Come on, man. So
yeah, I remember you telling you saying that without the height and reach advantage,
I think he'd struggle. I think he wasn't. My opinion on Rockhold is, I think he's a fantastic fighter with fucking. My opinion is, the biggest thing is his top control. It's like, you know, when people say, oh, so-and-so is good, so-and-so is a good striker, so-and-so is a good grappler. And I think, like, you got to be specific. He's a good grappler, but he's a good grappler in what position? Is he a good grappler off his back? Is he a good grappler on top, et cetera, et cetera? Good striker, same thing, you know? Is he a good striker with, you know, does he cut angles? Does he do this? Does he do that? Or does he do something else? And with Rockhold, I felt like his striking was based off the fact that he was very long and strong and kicked hard, kicked very hard. His hands, everyone knows, I'm not going to sit here and think. And the big threat was the fact that his grappling was good enough that it'd be hard to get him down and control him down. And his grappling's good, but if he got on top, that's when he became very, very dangerous. So I didn't know how he would be able to handle, and he wasn't a particularly fast middleweight. Mm. He wasn't like a very fast guy. So middleweight, I think he's very, very dangerous guy. At light heavyweight, I think he's still a very dangerous guy, but he doesn't, and I'm not saying he can't fix it. Like you said earlier, I'm not saying he can't fix it and then arrange stuff, but he doesn't enjoy those same advantages.
Mm.
And I think that that was very evident in that fight.
Yeah, I thought he always, because he was such a rangy, tall middleweight, I felt he didn't focus as much as he should have on his exits. His exits were always kind of behind and lacking because he could always fight at range and then get away from things just with a lean back. And you can see the times he's been caught or hurt has been because he couldn't, like the guy closed too much of a distance and landed it on him, or he got caught in that mid-range where, you know, he can get hit on a counter, like not really, except for in the case of Romero, who just like bum rushed him and killed him.
But I think with Romero, it was the same thing. Romero covers a lot of distance. Yeah. He's very fast himself.
Yeah. But then like he could, yeah, it's a little different. Like, opposed to like where he's been caught, like same thing with, who did he fight? He won the fight.
Branch.
Like same thing. He like got caught a little bit with just getting caught on the way out, on the way back. And then Branch went into a flurry after that and almost like it looked bad.
And you think he's more susceptible to being caught on the exit as a light heavyweight?
Yeah. Well, massively, because he doesn't have the height and reach advantage anymore. He's, and you saw that the way Rockhold got stopped was because he was in that mid range and got hit, got caught because he thought he was safe because of the distancing, you know, the security, I guess, in his height and reach. I do have a question though, because like, how much do you think that knockout how much do you think that head kick he took on the bell after the bell in the first round that wobbled him pretty bad contributed to the knockout he received in the second round?
I don't think it would have helped. I don't think having Jan's big fucking legs wrapped around the back of your head. But I was actually going to ask you the same question. If you take a shot like that, have you ever taken a shot like to the back of the head?
Yeah.
And it's like where you feel...
Yeah, with Romero, the second one.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's a terrible feeling.
Because your legs, like I've been hit fucking not even like that hard, but I've been hit in the back of the head. And tried to roll, just try to keep rolling. It wasn't like, it wasn't even in a fight or anything. I was rolling with someone, and guy's name's Aston Grant hit me with his big fucking shin in the back of his head, in the back of my head. And then I was trying to roll afterwards, and I was like, nah, we're good. Like it really like affected my head.
Yeah.
But he got me good. It wasn't like he, you know, he was rolling with someone else, and he hit me, boom, and I couldn't. Like I kept rolling, but it was fucking hard, man. Because like you know, like
yeah, it's hard. You lose control of your motor skills a little bit. Like you just get
a lot of bit.
So dizzy.
Yeah,
and then it's annoying. It's super annoying.
So I don't know. Is a minute enough time to?
Well, I guess that's a question.
Because you only have to slow down like a fraction, like a small fraction.
And head trauma, like it's I believe it's accumulative. So, like, I think the head trauma you receive in round one, like, if you get dropped in round one, you're more susceptible to being dropped in round two. And, like, that he got dropped in round one right at the end and then came in round two and then got iced.
Okay, the other thing, though, I see like this. Everyone talks about Rockhold's loss, right?
Mm.
But as opposed to Blachowicz's win.
Mm.
What do you think of him? Like when you were watching the fight, were you thinking, yeah, you get that start, you get that feeling, were you thinking this guy's going to win or this guy's going to lose or what?
You know, the whole time I was watching Rockhold's fight, obviously I was very invested in watching Rockhold himself fight because he's an old middleweight. I wanted to see how he came back, how he returned to the octagon as a light heavy. But, you know, it's one of those things where I just had a feeling. I thought, Rockhold's going to get caught. He's going to get caught. And I had that feeling the whole time during the fight until he got caught.
But was it something that Jan was doing?
I don't know if it was something that Jan was doing. It was more...
Because he's a big, imposing Rockhold, dude himself.
Rockhold in that... I when you look at Jan and you've seen him fight, like when you look at him, you're like, this guy hits hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get hit by him. But
how big is he, Rob, in real life? Did you...
He's huge. But he wasn't... He's like a massive guy with big bone structure. He's like just a big guy. Whereas Rockhold, he's like yoked. But I don't think he was as big structurally. I think, yeah.
Yeah, Jan looks like he's a Viking.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
The thing was, like, when I saw Rockhold fighting, like, the way he really went for that takedown, but he just held him up against the fence and blew so much out of his arms. And you see after that little exchange they had, that grappling exchange, that Rockhold was gassed. Like, his arms were gassed. He wasn't exiting anymore. He was keeping his hands down, chin high. Like, he just wasn't really there. After he couldn't get him down in the first, and that's kind of how he just got caught. Like, it just didn't look like he was going to take the.
Did you think he'd get caught with that left hook?
Well, no, the left hook came out of nowhere. Like,
no, not with that one in particular. Yeah. But I'm saying, did you think he'd get caught with a left hook? Because now everyone's saying the left hook, this is what he did wrong, and he doesn't, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Is that something you thought, left hook?
No, I didn't think left hook. I just thought he was just going to get caught, like, at some point, like, wherever. Because everyone's saying left hook because he doesn't exit right, and he keeps his chin high and leans back, but you can hit anyone with anything at that point.
Okay. Mm. Way two for Rockhold, do you reckon? Did he break his jaw?
He did. And
did you see him afterwards or anything?
No, I didn't. I didn't see him, but I guess I felt bad for the guy because I wanted him to do well. He's an ex-champ. I wanted his debut in light heavy to be a good one. It's just, you know, it sucks. It just happens. It sucks. Where to? I don't know. You know who was quick to write him off was Dana White. He wrote him off. He thinks he should retire. I don't think he shouldn't retire.
But is that writing someone off? Or is that, like, again, going back to that conversation we had earlier with Diego Sam, I think Rockhold has still got fights in him, from my opinion. Because he to me, is a guy that... I rate Jan more than, like, if you go... Not more than Chiesa, I think. But, like, fuck, man. Losing to Jan is not, like...
Yeah. Personally, I would be... Like, if I had to handle it, I would have been like, Rockhold's had a hard time. I'm sure he'll be back stronger than ever. Let's just see how it ends and then play off whatever Rockhold says. Like, whether Rockhold wants to retire, support that, or whether he wants to fight,
no,
support
but that. But aside from what Dana said, like, what I mean is, to me, Rockhold's still got fights at light heavyweight that he can do.
I think so.
And
I think he looked really... Like, he looked... There were points in the fight where he looked really good. When he was landing that body kick, when he was landing that head kick, I thought it looked really good. I thought he looked really good. It's just you just got to change a couple of things up, you know, a little bit, and I think he could be, like, very competitive in the light heavyweight division.
And it's a fight at the end of the day too, eh?
It just happens, and so you lose sometimes. But I don't think you should ever ride an ex-champ out, ever. Like, no, he's a champ. Like, he's an ex-champ. He's been there. He got to the top of a division, like the very top. He's in that apex category of fighters, like, in the world. But, you know, if anyone can change something up and come back stronger, it's going to be him.
Chael said something. He said something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, he said something along the lines of, in his opinion, he has an argument for Rockhold being possibly the best middleweight that, like, during his run at champion. He won't win that argument, he said, because Anderson has all those wins. When you were at middleweight, did you see Rockhold how did you see Rockhold at middleweight?
I thought he was very dangerous. I thought he has a great skill set, but I don't think he was one of the best ever.
Yeah, I think he was one of the best,
one
for sure.
Best,
yeah.
But not one of the best ever.
I
think I could have beaten him.
Well, I would imagine so.
Yeah, like when I was lined to fight him, I thought, like, I was pretty confident in that fight. But we'll never know. Maybe I lost.
Yeah. No, but I but see, the thing is, I believe that the way you guys matched up, and again, he's going to disagree, you know, but I think that the way you guys matched up and what's different between you and him is, I believe, your speed. And I don't think a lot of people understand that until they're in there, the speed and the timing, that, because you're not just fast, you have good timing. And those two things combined are very difficult to deal with. And I never found him to be, like I said, a particularly fast middleweight. But I think if you stay in that area for him to kick the shit out of you and then take you down, then that's going to be horrible.
I always thought, like one of the best ever was Weidman. I thought he was just...
He lost to Rockhold too, eh?
Yeah, he did. You know, that happens.
That's the game.
That's the game. But I always thought he was one of the best. Like, he's just, in my opinion, I think he's a great fighter. Hope he does go to 205.
Isn't he though?
Yeah, I believe so. But after listening to the podcast, maybe he comes back down.
Come back. No, but I do think that too. I would have, and again, it's just the way people match up. I always had Weidman as a, you know what I mean? But I think he, I don't know that he matches up that bad with Rockhold. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? I think, you know, it's one of those fights where two good, even guys fight. And
I think it was one of those. It was one of those sort of fights. Like, it's just one of those sort of fights where they were so close that anyone could have won.
Who's next, Steve? George Masvidal.
Ben Askren. Wow. That was that was something special, wasn't it? That fight. Yeah, that was a crazy fight to
What was the anticipation like before the fight?
Everyone was pumped for that fight. Everyone was pumped because there was so much hostility towards them both. And even when Masvidal got into the cage, he was still eyeing out Ben Askren, like eyeing him out. And just the whole time, just like, wanted to hurt him.
Were they talking to each other in there?
No. Well, Masvidal may have been. Like, he was so mad at him.
Did you have your back? Did Masvidal have his back to you?
No. Like, they were both like this. I was in a great spot of the cage. But that knockout was ridiculous. Like, it was crazy. You know, it was faster than 5 seconds. The knockout.
Yeah, it must have been 2 seconds.
Yeah, it would have been 2 seconds, but the ref had to get all the way in to stop it. And it's crazy. It's crazy how it ended.
How, you know, when they're talking about that, people were saying like, oh, Ben Askren, didn't he realize that he was going? Explain how quick that happens.
No, it was super quick. How it all went down. But dude, like Masvidal sprinted at him. Like, Askren started walking in, and Masvidal literally sprinted at him with that knee. I think it was great, great game plan.
Askren couldn't have done a lot different. Like, he always does that, and he's done it in 18 other fights.
Yeah, and has worked every single fight. But that's the game. I think it just hats off to Masvidal's team and hats off to Masvidal for being like, okay, this guy does this every fight. I'm going to throw this and see what happens. He did that, and it was so brutal, the knockout, like, so brutal. And then Masvidal's shit talk after that was brutal. Like,
how long was Askren out for? Was he out for
ages?
Because you can't see it sometimes on
like
TV.
5 minutes. They brought the stretcher out, just like they thought they were gonna have to stretch him off, and then Askren did get up and he was like, no stretch, but he got carried out pretty much. Because I saw him walking back to the locker room because I was right there, and he was gone. He won't remember anything that week. Like, he's gone. Yeah. You know what, though? Hats off to Askren's, like, the way he's reacted to it all. And have you seen anything he put up?
Yeah, a little bit,
like,
yeah.
Like, he's like, nah. I deserve that.
Actually watch an interview with him. Yeah,
he's just like, I deserve that. Like, I've been putting shit on people for years. Like,
but you got to respect that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
And what do you think about Masvidal's celebrations? Do you think it was excessive?
The thing is, like,
as a former teacher, I don't.
Yeah, no.
I think if someone antagonizes someone to that extent.
Yeah,
And you know what? Askren, like you said, at the end of it, Askren, like, he's not playing stupid either. Going, well, I don't know why, like, fucking da da da.
He knows what he said.
Yeah. He knew what he said, and he knew what. And, you know, honestly, he won me over with that, too.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, if you, and there was no, like, oh, get you next time gadget. Like, it was like, nah,
I deserve that.
I talked mad shit, and fuck, that's what's going to happen, you know? And I got caught, and you're going to eat shit if you get caught, you know? Yeah.
No, that, honestly, because he was already winning me over, just. I don't know why. I just thought it was funny the way he conducts himself is so it's just, I don't know, shit. He's funny. He's a funny guy. Funny looking guy. He says dumb shit, and I just thought he was funny. But I was still going for Masvidal. But I was starting to like him a little bit. But I was going for Masvidal just because he's like a thug. He's like proper thug. And then when he said what he did, like, I deserve that. Like, I've been doing this for years. Like, I thought, you know, hats off to you. You just earned me. You won me over as another fan. But yeah, I don't think Masvidal's celebration was too much either, because same thing. Like, you talk mad shit. Not everybody wants to play the show. Not everybody is there to sell the fight. Like, at the end of the day, we're fighting.
But the fight that fight, it's sold. You know what I mean?
It sells itself. Like, yeah. And not everybody is part of the act with you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't necessarily want to be part of the act with you taking the piss out of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
you can sell the fight and keep going.
So, and that's what happened. So I thought it was cool.
Did, when he knocked, did you know he was out as soon as the knee landed?
Yeah. Yeah. Because just the way he fell, and he wasn't moving. Like, he wasn't moving.
You feel those two shots at the end were excessive?
No, not excessive. It's a fight. But they were unneeded. They were not necessary. Like,
Do you think it's wrong of Masvidal to have hit him, or should he have done walk-off KO?
No, he should have kept hitting him. Like, if the ref didn't stop it, I would have kept hitting him. Like, that's just
still be there.
Yeah, he'd still be there now. He's still hitting him. Like, that's just the game. It was crazy. But those two shots, those two massive shots at the end, were what sent him into next week. He would have got up much sooner if he didn't eat those two shots.
Fuck.
He wouldn't have had to be carried out.
But it is true, man. Eh? Like, big respect to Askren, I suppose, for not being a fucking tool at the end of it and just being, I fucking deserved it.
100%. Like, I thought that was the best part about that fight, to be honest.
Yeah, because Masvidal, he's what he is, man. And probably is, like I said to you before. And I said it before he got thing. Like, he's probably my favorite fighter, you know? And now he's everyone's favorite fighter, so I have to change. I have to get a new favorite fighter.
Can't be mainstream.
Yeah, can't at all. But no, man, I thought it was good. I actually look forward to seeing Askren fight. I think he's a dangerous matchup for anyone as well, you know? But I couldn't believe that shot, eh?
Dude, it was so clean, so clean. And you know what's cool is, like, you saw him practicing that shot the week of, practicing that exact thing he was doing, like the circle to the right, running knee. Like, it was, he was practicing it.
Bolted,
Sprinted at him.
People don't understand the time in you watching it in the replay, and you're like, oh, look, he ducks right into it. You can tell, rah, rah, how could he? And you're like, dude, fucking no time.
Masvidal threw the knee hoping his head would be there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be like, oh, he's ducking, I'm going to throw the knee.
Yeah.
No, he threw the knee and made the run and threw the knee hoping he would be exactly where he needed him to be. That's what happened.
Dave, what's next?
So, women's fight.
Oh, Nunes.
Nunes and
Holly Holm. I tried to bet Alex Pratis. I tried to bet him some money that I thought Amanda Nunes would win. But Holly Holm looked big, man, on TV. But again, this on live, she didn't look big.
Bigger. Oh, she's always a big girl, but she just doesn't look thick. She's like, she doesn't look thick. She's like a rock hold. Like, she's yoked, but I don't know. Like, how do I?
Because TV is funny like that. Sometimes you look at people.
Yeah, she's like skinny yoked, if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Nunes looks thick.
Like, dense kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, there's just, her bones are bigger. And I thought Nunes was going to win. I like Holly. I think she's a cool fighter. But I just, from what I've seen of Nunes, she's a weapon. She just hits too hard, and the skill set is too complete. And she just ices out people. I told you, she's like one of the only women I actually enjoy watching fighting, because she just goes in there and lays someone out.
Did, in watching the fight live, what was that like? Did you think it was going to be close, or was the expectation there the whole time?
The whole time I thought Holly was just going to get hit with something. The whole time. She just hits so hard.
There's not a lot of like lightweight guys, like not lightweights, but like say
flyweight.
Yeah, flyweight, bantamweight that have that boom.
That pop power.
And in the women's, even less.
Yeah. Like, and I could see when I saw Nunes starting to load up, like, it just, you know what it looked like to me? It looked like when Rose fought
Joanna
for the second time. Every time Joanna went in, she just got hurt. Every time Rose hit her, she got hurt. And same thing with that fight. And you could see as the round was progressing, like, Amanda was getting closer and closer with the shots, or she was landing a little bit more and more. And Holly was just not getting out fast enough, or just getting caught like weird in a weird scramble, and it getting messy. And you could see it as the fight went on, just getting a little messier until like she threw that side kick to the knee. It didn't come off like she wanted, and then pop.
Fucking hell. Who beats fucking Nunes then?
I don't know.
Cejudo. It'd have to be.
Yeah.
Didn't he call her out?
I think
he did. I saw it on some forum or some shit. That
would be great.
That'd be a good. I got Cejudo.
Yeah. I don't know. Nunes is a weapon. But yeah, there's no one left. She's cleaned out the division. Of two divisions. She's cleaned out two divisions.
She's a freak, eh?
She's a weapon. She's demonic.
The last thing, it's the main event.
Mm.
Thiago Santos versus John Jones.
Mm. I thought Santos did so much better than I thought he was going to do. So much better. So much better. I didn't think it would be anywhere near that. Anywhere as close as it was.
Why do you think John Jones didn't take him down?
He said, he mentioned why in the interview. He said pride. He said he wanted that fight to be hard, and he wanted to...
But what, do you believe that? Or do you think he couldn't take him down? Do you think he got hurt early?
No, I think it was due to that. Jones is crazy like that. Like I can, like, it might not be, but I can see him doing something like that. Honestly, I can.
No, but I see it not necessarily because of pride in that. The way he fights, he dismantles people.
Mm.
So if he can take you to where you're strong, that's how he mitigates that risk,
yeah,
by smashing through that if he can. But I think probably later towards the end, he probably couldn't take him down even if he wanted to.
No, because he hurt his leg. Those calf kicks were destroying.
Did you see his leg though? Like his thigh, his left thigh?
Massive.
I
thought Santos was fighting so smart. Attacking the legs the way he did was ridiculous. Like perfect, beautiful. You know, maybe he couldn't take him down at the end. And it mitigated a lot of his footwork and his kicks, his kick game. But you know Santos, I think, blew his entire knee out in the second round.
That's like fucking crazy.
ACL, MCM, MCL, LCL. Is that one?
Yeah. You hurt your ligaments. So can you talk about what that's like fighting?
Yeah, I only hurt the MCL. You know, with my first fight against Romero, and that was hard. It was hard because every time I went to like get in and throw jabs or throw crosses or just get in, it was unstable. It was wobbly, and it was hard to try and get out after that or to commit in. It was just kept locking out on me. For him to have a completely blown knee and go through the whole fight and get as close as he did to a win was
remarkable. How close do you think it was to a win? Because one judge gave it to him.
I thought it was close, like, but I don't know. It was one of those fights where I just didn't see him winning. Like, I thought Jones was winning, but even though he lost rounds, I still thought he was winning for some reason. Like, He just looks like he's winning. He was going forward the whole time. And just the way he conducts himself, the way he carries himself, it just looks like he's winning. Even when he's not like landing the most, when he's not landing the more shots or taking people down, he just looks like he's winning. I don't know if that's a thing, but I said it is.
Now, because looking at it again on TV, and this is, I was having this conversation, I think it was with Alex, we were talking about it, because from TV, it didn't look like Santos won, to me.
Mm.
To me, it looked like he maybe won the second round, you know what I mean? If you really wanted to give him, I thought there were rounds where he was close, but I gave him to John.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But when you watch it live and you're a ref, like you're a judge, rather, I should say, and you can only as well, you can only judge what you saw. You can't judge what you think you saw. So I don't know. And you're saying it looked different live?
I just didn't think. I could see, like, when Santos won the second round, I thought he won the second round, but it still looked like Jones won. I think there's like a... There's got to be a
theory.
I'm
not saying he won the second round.
There's got to be a theory. I thought he won the second round.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a theory behind it where Jones has an aura. He has an aura about him. And when he does anything at all, you're like, wow, look at that. Wow, look at that. Like, wow. Like, every time Jones would hit Santos, you'd thought, like, Jones and Santos would throw the same shot, hit each other, same, let's say they both hit each other, but Jones would stand out more to you because everything Jones does stands out more. And, yeah.
Do you think a lot of that's also the fact that he's controlling the center and pushing
the
guy back?
Definitely, definitely. And I think he plays to that. He plays, he controls the center, he pushes you back, he does the different looks, he feints a lot, he moves the way he does. It's like he's performing for you. He looks like he's performing for you. And I think that takes a lot of the spotlight away from anyone he fights. So to beat him in a decision sort of fight is very, very hard. That's why they always say you gotta stop the champ. It's hard to beat the champ in a decision. It's very hard. And I think so, especially with Jones. But the thing is, I think that fight highlighted just how good Jones's chin is. Like, he took some big shots. I saw the shots. I was right there, and I saw the sweat fly off him. And you can hear him too. Yeah, you can hear him. And, dude, nothing phases John Jones. Nothing. Nothing phases. He got kicked in the head. Nothing phases.
Yeah, did those? How clean were those?
Not clean, but enough to make maybe take a step backwards, not three forward like he did. You know, his chin is outstanding, outstanding.
And what about Thiago Santos' resurgence or renaissance as a
man? He hits like a truck. He hits like a truck. He's a gun fighter. I think light heavy for him was the best move. Because he just hits so hard, he's so tough, he's bigger. Yeah, he's just... Yeah.
So, having seen Anthony Smith go up, fight for a title, Thiago Santos go up, fight for a title, Rockhold, I mean, he lost, but how do you see Weidman doing at light heavyweight?
I think he'd do great because I think him having a cut less, he's a big guy. He's a very big guy. And I think he's wrestling in his game. I think he'll be faster, like quite quick for that division, or at least up there. And
his grappling, like his shots and double legs, single legs, they weren't slow for a...
No, they were super, super quick. And I think, I was going to say, with his grappling, I think he'll be able to control a lot of matches, control a lot of people. Because his grappling's phenomenal. So mix that with good striking, he's going to be a bit of a killer.
Okay.
He's got quite a complete skill set.
Dave, do you have any questions for Rob?
Just something that you said before around the moving weight division. So ideally, you know, just for most people like me don't know anything. So what do you think are the key skills going up the different divisions? So is it more of a heavy hitter at light heavyweight? Obviously heavyweights are more powerful. And what's the makeup of the ideal middleweight?
Yeah, generally, like, the heavier you are, the slower you are, but the heavier, the harder you hit. And the opposite is true when you go down. That's why you see, like, a lot of the best lighter guys are the ones that are fast and have pop. And the same with the heavier weights. It's like the guys that hit, like, heavy, but are quite quick enough to land them. And then there's your, like, your outliers. So it's like the heavier guys that are super slow, but it doesn't matter because they hit. If they hit you, you almost die, like Nagano.
But he's not slow.
He's not slow, but he's not super quick.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's just got to tap you and you die. And then same thing with the lighter weights. Like, I don't think Dominic Cruz was ever a real heavy puncher, but he's just so fast, so hard to hit, so mobile, so fit, that he just outworks you.
I think if you're the thing that I see, like I see a Thiago Santos, and he didn't enjoy the same success in middleweight, because I think the weight cut just sucks a lot of the power, that because he wants to get in there and, like, you hit me and I'm going to hit you and let's see who comes out on top. And you couldn't really do that as well at middleweight.
You can't do that if you're doing huge cuts. It's very hard.
Anything else, Dave? All right. Then let's have this rematch you speak of.
Yeah, let's do it. About time. You cheater.
Let's do it.
Is it set up?
No.
It's not set up.
How long will it take to set up?
It doesn't matter. I'll win by default.
No. That's not how it works.
All right.
Does it take long to set up?
Let me try. Just chuck it on me last
minute. What's on for you, Rob? What's next for you?
Just training. Just training. The fight's been officially announced. It was always happening though, so I've been training for that. I'm gonna be training for that, obviously. I'm gonna go in and see the guys at the GAP program. They've been waiting for me, I'm sure.
Well, they're going home now.
Yeah, they're not now. I'm not gonna go in now, but I'm gonna go see them. And just plug away, train. Actually, we got one of our guys, Jacob Malcolm. He's fighting on Saturday.
No, he's fighting tomorrow. Today?
Friday.
Yeah, because Rob just came back. He's jet lagged and whatnot.
I don't even know what day it is.
No, it's Thursday today, Friday tomorrow. So Jacob's fighting there, middleweight, against a very, very tough guy.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. That'll be cool. And then, just training as usual.
Is it hard for you to watch your training partners?
I hate it. I hate it. Anyone I like or is a friend of mine or I'm invested in, it crushes me. I get bad anxiety, like when I'm watching him fight.
In what way?
I don't like seeing my friends get hurt.
Would you want your kids to fight?
Never. Never. But obviously I want to support them, like, in whatever they do.
Do you think they will? Just watching him? Because Jack seems aggressive.
Maybe. Jack seems aggressive.
He does. He's like an aggressive, like, there's kids that are timid. Jack's not.
You should see, he just tackles John and Lily the whole time. Just tackles him.
He's 3 years old, yeah? Four now.
He loves it.
He did my class, the wrestling class. Oh, we're here, ready to go.
Oh, let's do it. We're going to do Mortal Kombat 1 again? Yeah.
You pick it.
No, I won't do that.
I don't want to hear any excuses.
Nah, but if I don't pick Mortal Kombat 1, you'll have an excuse. What are you doing?
I want to be the same one I was before. I don't want to lose. I don't want to get it.
Just press start first.
I want to make sure that I get the my corner. Which one?
I need to know more abilities for Scorpion.
How do I know which one?
Keep pressing start.
I have two controls.
Just keep pressing start. There we go.
Which one am I?
The one you press start with. Oh, that's two. That's two.
Okay, thank you.
Press start on that one. There you go. Hey, Dave, what's another ability for Scorpion?
I didn't know. Back punch.
What's another one?
That's
all he has. Oh, man, I should have looked it up.
Best of three, yeah, Dave? Best of three.
Oh, shit. That was so slow. Your ability is so bullshit. You're trying to cheese me.
Oh! The humanity! The humanity!
I'm gonna cheese you on this next one. Watch this.
I don't understand that term. I've never heard the term.
I don't care. You'll see. Oh! Watch this.
Oh!
Humanity.
Oh, dude, that was so easy. That was so easy.
What do we do here, David?
Yeah, it's so easy.
You have got Street Fighter on this?
Start. No. So, Rob 1-0.
Watch this. Watch this. Look at that new champ. Look at that new champ. Benno. Look at that.
Oh.
Dude, that ability is such bullshit. Oh, how did they hit me? How did they hit me? It's such bullshit. Me, you cheater. I read you like a book bar. Ah, oh, bullshit!
Pride comes before the fall, mate.
Yeah? Yeah? Oh! Oh, you're so shit! Pain. Watch this. Oh. Fuck! Oh! Oh!
Yes!
I still don't know how to block. Is blocking a thing? You know when people message me, how do you block? Oh!
Ah! The humanity! The humanity!
Finish him.
It is.
I'm done.
I'm the best.
I'm done.
I'm the best. New champ.
I'm done. Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
Don't hold it against me forever.
All right, guys. This was a very, very sad day in Mortal Kombat. We just saw Rob regain his title, and
yes,
please tune in for the show next week.
Yes,
thank
please.
You very much, guys. Take care.
Peace. Oh, wait. Hey, before you stop, have you stopped?
No.
Okay. Before you stop, firstly, I'm going to do a stream this weekend.
Ah, okay.
I'm going to do a stream. People who watched the last stream, sorry, it was all crappy. I'm actually going to test the stream before I stream it this Saturday, but I'm going to do a stream this Saturday where we're going to do a new character on Elder Scrolls Online. So tune in. It should be fun. It should be fun.
It should be fun, gentlemen and ladies.
Also, sorry, also.
We just keep adding stuff.
We have more stock for the Reaper gear. If you're interested, please go onto the website. It's robwoodycoat.com. Go back on it. We have more stock. Buy a shirt if you wish.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Thanks a lot. See you later.